First Peter chapter 1, we're going to begin reading just to get more of the context of where we have been and where we are this morning. Let's begin reading in verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I started with verse number 13 because you get down to verse number 21, you look at the end of that verse, and it's talking about Christ being given that your hope or your faith and your hope might be in God. So there in verse number 13, it says, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Let's go once again to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this time, that you would bless your word unto your people, that you bless the reading and preaching and hearing, Father, of your word. Father, help us to understand. We know that if we're going to have understanding, it's going to be because it's from spiritual discernment that is given from above. It's not going to be because any of us are smarter than the other, that we understand more. It comes from you. Understanding comes from you. Wisdom comes from you. And if we lack it, we're told in Scripture that we have but to ask. And so, Father, we ask this morning that you would give us wisdom from above, that you'd speak unto us from your word. Pray for those, Father, that aren't here this morning. Pray especially for my grandfather, Father, who's in the hospital. Pray that you'd be with him, that you'd be with the doctors, that you would provide him comfort, Father. Give him peace at this time. Give the doctors understanding about what they ought to do. Father, I also pray these same things for David Gatch, a good friend of all of ours. His mother has been in the hospital with heart problems, Father, and this morning's having to go back in for surgery, may even be in surgery at this very time. Father, we ask that you would be with them, be with her. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, our focus this morning in these two verses, verses 20 and 21, is the end of the sentence. These things are given unto us. Why? Verse 21, the end of verse 21 says that your faith and your hope might be in God. Let me ask you, how many people are there around you? How many people are there in this country? How many people are there in this world who do not have faith and hope in God? How many people are there that do not have peace? How many people are there that do not trust in the Lord as their Savior? How many people are there that are without redemption? So this is what Peter's writing unto us, is that your faith and your hope might be in God. What are your faith and your hope in this morning? Where should your faith and your hope be? All of our faith and hope ought to be in God. I mean, my hope is not in what I may find at the office tomorrow when I go back to work after having been off for a week. My hope's not there. My faith and my hope's to be in God. If I'm able to earn a wage and provide for my family, it's because my faith and my hope is in God. But ultimately, the thing that's more important than any of those things is our salvation, our redemption. And our faith and our hope must be in God for that. Through Christ, it must be in God. we would have no reconciliation between us and God. There would still be wrath and enmity between us and God if it were not for Christ. But again, God and Christ weren't at cross purposes. You know, the wrath of the God over here and Christ standing between us and the wrath of God saying, you know, Father, you know, forgive them. They know not what they do, only in that sense. I mean, certainly that is true. But what we're told here in verse number 20 is what? That he was foreordained before. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Christ was provided by who? The Father. And Christ was willing to come of his own volition to die for our sins before the foundation of the world. If that does not blow your mind, it ought to. Your faith and your hope's not in God. You know, if it doesn't, it's in something else. It's in yourself and maybe what good you can do or what good you have done. You feel like the scales are going to be, you know, tilted your favor because you've done all these good things. Brother Wiseman told me this morning, he went and helped out I'm picking on you today, Brother Wiseman. He told me he went and helped out at one of the local food banks. His faith and his hope can't be in the fact that he did that. Our faith and our hope can't be in those things. I'm not saying we shouldn't do those things. We ought to. There are good works that our Father has foreordained that we should walk in. But our faith and our hope isn't in those things. Our faith and our hope is in Christ, in God. But he was foreordained before the foundation of the world and manifest in these last times for you. You remember what we read previously in 1 Peter, verse number 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Isn't that what we're reading now in verse number 20? He was manifest in these last times for you, for me. Christ was manifested in the last times, foreordained before the foundation of the world, but manifest in these last times for us. We're living in the last times, aren't we? Certainly we are. Brother Doug and I were talking to him about stars the other day. And the wonder, I mean, and I admit, and I've told all y'all before, I don't think he's been here when I said this, but there's times that I've walked from here home, and it's been just a clear night, and you look up there into the heavens, and you see all the stars, and it is just breathtaking. It is awe-inspiring. It is almost too wonderful, you know, for a person who really takes time to look there and be thankful in their heart for all that God has done. I mean, it is just almost too wonderful to look at even the stars. But we sang this morning, didn't we? One of those hymns was talking about those things. When we see Christ, those things are going to be forgotten. I mean, the wonder of that will pale in comparison to the wonder of Christ, the glory of Christ. There's not even going to be any need for the sun there, right? You know, his light. Yeah, he's going to be the light. I can't unpackage that for you. You know, you're going to have to spend some time thinking about that. You know, I can't unpackage that for you this morning. I couldn't unpackage that if I had from now until the end of time and give you a proper understanding and a view of that which is to come. There's just no way that I could render that properly, preach that to you. But if you have hope and faith, or faith and hope, as it is in our scripture, if you have faith and hope in God, then you have faith and hope that you will see that sight one day. And your hearts are full to overflowing about thinking about the very fact that we will behold face to face our Savior. Face to face. Yep, the disciples walked upon the earth. And they were with the Lord, you know, those 3 years during his earthly ministry. But we're not missing out. We're going to behold him face to face. We haven't missed out. But he was foreordained. The lamb slain, verse number 19 ended with, the lamb slain without spot and without blemish. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's a greater wonder than the stars. The stars are a great wonder. All that God has created is a great wonder. But Christ, the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, there's no greater wonder than that. No greater wonder. The stars are innumerable for us. The wonder of Christ is as well. You can think upon the wonder of the redemption that is ours in Christ Jesus, and it will thrill your soul every single time. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28 says, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." So here we're talking about the wonder of Christ, right? We're talking about the glory of Christ. We're talking about God giving His only begotten Son, giving His precious blood that we might be redeemed, right? Now listen, verse 29 of Hebrews 10. "Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Here's my point. God having given his only begotten Son, can you imagine? We're talking about the wonder and the awe of seeing Christ face to face. We're talking about the wonder and the awe of God giving His only begotten Son. We're talking about the wonder and the awe of the precious blood of Christ. And what a glory that those things are, and what a glory it shall be to see Him face to face. Can you imagine the opposite? I want you to think about the flip side of that coin now. I want you to think about the person who does not have faith and hope in God, who does not want faith and hope in God. I want you to think about the person who will stand before Him and see Him face to face one day. And it will not be a glorious thing. It will be a dreadful thing. It will be a fearful thing. More dreadful and more fearful than they have ever known. Just like we're talking about, and you can do this, we see a lot of things in Scripture you can do this with. And you see the truth on one side. You can look at it the reverse too. You look at the glory of Christ. And the hope and the faith that we have in God through Him, that we shall one day behold Him and be forever with the Lord. You think about the opposite of that, and the dread and the misery and the sorrow and the pain and the death of being forever separated from the Lord. Think about the person who refuses to have faith and hope in God through Christ. They don't want this redemption. Our Lord was slain as a lamb without spot, without blemish, from before the foundation of the world. He died for those who believe upon Him in salvation. For salvation. In other words, those who have faith in Him. That's what we're saying here. Those who have faith and hope in God through Christ. What does it mean to have faith in Him? Well, for a person to have faith and hope in God through Christ, they must have seen their need of salvation, right? They must have seen their need of repentance. They must have seen their need of salvation, of a Savior, of redemption. His need of God's mercy to be applied unto him by the precious blood of Christ. At the end, again, of our verses this morning, this is also that you might have faith and hope in God. This is being written unto us that we might have faith and hope in God. The God who planned our redemption Can we not see that? Foreordained. Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, the God who planned our redemption. The God who planned our redemption is now the object of what? Our hope. The God who planned our redemption is the object of our hope. He's begun a good work, and he's going to bring it to pass. We have need of hope. He didn't merely have foreknowledge that Christ was going to hell. He foreordained it. He decreed it. He planned it. Before Adam ever sinned, he planned it. Just as he decreed the sun to rise. Why did the sun come up this morning? Because God told it years ago, thousands of years ago, when he said, "Let there be light." He told it to come up every single day, and it hasn't failed to do so. It stood still once during a battle, but it hasn't failed to rise because God decreed it. God decreed this. But we're told that Christ, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, has appeared in these last times for us. Christ appeared. Christ came for you. Christ came for your redemption. That's what he came for. He appeared in these last times for us. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen what? The Father. That we might have faith and hope in God. Just adding the verse we're looking at this morning. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's John 14, verse 9. There could have been no precious blood ransom if Christ had not appeared in human flesh, in flesh and blood, and died for us. He was born for what? For the express purpose that he might die. And we're all born and we'll all die, but he was born to die. He was born that death not have dominion and sin not have dominion over you any longer. He died to ransom us from a futile life of sin. That's what we read if you look back up in verse number 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. He's come to redeem us, verse number 18, from vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, by the precious blood of Christ. It's not just that Christ has died. It's not just that our sins are atoned for. It's not just our sins are paid for. It's not just the justification. It's also the sanctification that we might live holy lives. Peter says that he appeared for our sake. Christ died. You know, we think about the mind-blowing thought of Christ being the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now think about the fact that he came to die for you. Christ came to die for you. He appeared for you. That's what the scripture says here. He appeared for you. His only begotten Son he gave for you. For your sake, that you might be redeemed. For your sake, that you might be ransomed. That you might be delivered from death. That you might be delivered from hell. That you might be delivered from the wrath of God. That you might be delivered from sin in your life now. God planned this before the foundation of the world. This makes the blood of Christ precious unto us. You know, my youngest said to me yesterday in the car, we were driving to Livingston, and she said, "Dad, can God see us?" I said, "Yes, God can see us." You know, next thing she said to me, she said, "Why?" You know what I thought of? And you think about this, why? And think about what Scripture says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Can God see us? Yes, he can. Why? Why would God? I mean, she didn't take it this far. You know, that was the end of her thought process. But why would he? Why would he send his son? What is man that thou art mindful of him? We find that in Hebrews chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 6, it says, But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. He's thinking about that in and of itself. God created all the beauty that there was in the world and set Adam over it. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he hath put all things all in subjection under him, he hath left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. You think about that, the Son of God becoming a man and being made lower than the angels. You imagine these things we read here that the angels desire to look into. Imagine the angels looking at that and thinking, the glorious Son of God is going to become a creature in order underneath us, that he might redeem fallen man. There was no redemption provided for the fallen angels, but has been for us. He appeared for you, not for the angels who fell with Lucifer. He has appeared for you. He's appeared for men, not angels, but men. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. This is God speaking about his Son. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, right? And again, I put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Christ himself became a partaker. He also himself likewise took part of the same, became flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Now, we read this morning in Psalm 107, verse 2, Let the redeemed, the Lord, say so, whom he hath delivered from the hand of the enemy. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels. He didn't become an angel. He became a man. He took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make what? Reconciliation. For the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. But he made reconciliation for the sins of the people, lamb slain before the foundation of the world, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, that our faith and hope might be in God. He came because of sin. Because of your sin and my sin, he came. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Without a Redeemer, we would have been without hope and without God in the world. We would have been without faith and hope in God. Without a Redeemer. But because the Redeemer has come, we have faith and hope in God. That's what he's saying. You remember the story of Ruth and Boaz? If he had not been a kinsman Redeemer unto her and restored all that had been lost as a picture of our sin, she would have been without hope. That was us. Boaz was a type of Christ as a Redeemer. And we're told that God raised him from the dead. You ever give much thought about that? When we talked already about God sending his Son, we talked about him being the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. But What about him coming and dying upon the cross? And then it says here, God raised him from the dead. That's what verse 21 says. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead. Do you ever think about that much? Think about the fact that God raising him from the dead was divine affirmation of him having received the death of Christ as purchase or ransom or redemption or atonement for us. God vindicated the worth of the redemption or the ransom or the sacrifice by giving life back unto the Son. What this says is, what Christ did is satisfying to God. God satisfied. God satisfied with Christ's death for your sins. That's what it's saying. But it's also saying, and that God raised him up from the dead, that death is defeated. Isn't that what we read back there in Hebrews? That death is defeated, that he might redeem us. And deliver us from him who had the power of death. Well, it also says that God gave him glory. That's the next thing you see there in verse 21. God gave him glory. Not only did he raise from the dead, but he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. God gave him glory. Brother Doug and I were talking about this morning. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God gave him glory. What do you think is going to happen to a man that refuses and rejects God's only begotten Son? God gave him glory. He brought him into heaven and set him at his own right hand as Lord. All of this that we might have faith and hope in God. Do you have hope in God this morning? Do you have faith and hope in God this morning? Do you trust Him? Do you hope in Him? Is He your life? Do you live by faith? Do you live in hope or in fear of God? You know, that's what salvation does. It brings you to God. It gives you faith and hope in God. That's what salvation does. That's redemption. That's the message we have. That's the gospel that we have to take and to bring unto people. We talk about sin. We talk about the penalty of sin. We talk about the Redeemer who came. We talk about the substitution. The price that was paid. The redemption that was made. That's the gospel. We think about this. God knew. Nothing was hidden from God. God knew. And yet, He chose to send His Son, to put His Son to death, to raise His Son from the dead, and to give His Son glory. Why? That your faith and your hope might be in God. So that you would trust God and what God can do for you rather than what you can do for yourself. That your faith and hope might be in God. That us knowing that the wages of sin are death, knowing that we deserve damnation, knowing that we deserve hell, that yet God gave His Son that we might have faith and hope in God. That we might focus our mind's attention and our heart's affection on Him who was chosen from eternity, manifested in time, crucified for sinners, raised from the dead, glorified at the right hand of God, all for you. All for your sake. That you might be satisfied in God. That you might have faith and hope in God and not in sin. Not in yourselves. So that's why we read in Scripture that the Spirit and the church say in Revelation, come. Come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let everyone who wishes come and take the water of life freely. It's without cost. Without price. We couldn't pay it if there was a price for the bond. Too precious. We haven't been redeemed with things like silver and gold. We read that this morning. But with the precious blood of Christ. That's what we talked about last week. But all of this, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Let's stand.